The Innocent, Chapter 4. Sam pulled the fragile cardboard box from underneath the back seat and looked at the assembled collection of tapes. He wasn't sure whether they would still play. Being stuck in the car, which could get pretty hot at times, had the unfortunate side effect of warping tapes so that they sounded like a product of a spaced-out gothic hippie on a short-circuiting synthesizer. He hadn't been sure that they'd still be there. He knew that he'd not thrown them away. Just didn't know whether Dad had. They'd held on to a lot of Dean things at first. Some stuff they'd dropped off at Fieldcrest, the rest. There was this one time they'd been sorting through the trunk, getting rid of things that were of no use, or that were broken. There was these new weapons that Dad had inherited from someone, never had said who, and they needed to find room for them. There'd been this hat. It must have fallen through into the hidden weapons compartment and been forgotten. Without thinking, it had gone to the trash. It had been a couple of hours, and 120 miles later, that he had remembered Dean wearing that stupid woolen hat one time they ended up in Oregon in January. He'd been bitching about the wind giving him a headache, and then he turned up in the hat. Dean had looked funny in that hat. Funny, and about 12. The memory had hit him like a sledgehammer. He'd had the sudden urge to turn around and drive back to the dumpster it had ended up in. It hadn't just been that hat. Things had just kind of started disappearing. There was no real logic about what they still kept of Dean's. Sentimentality didn't really apply to the Winchesters. It might have been different if Dean died, but he hadn't. He'd just been gone. He stuck the first tape into the car stereo and listened as the sound of a cat being strangled underwater assaulted his ears. He flipped it off. So much for Led Zeppelin. Some of these tapes had to be good, and he'd find them. It would be so much easier if they switched a tape deck for a CD player. The loud child, hidden in the corner, was wearing a Superman t-shirt and blue jeans. He was a stranger, but with his brown hair curling down to his shoulders, there was something familiar about him. Propped up in a diner's only high chair, screaming at the top of his lungs, there was something familiar about the whole scene. He watched the parents, who seemed to be getting more and more frustrated by the glances being thrown their way from other patrons of the diner. They tried to coax the boy with the little plastic police card that he had already thrown to the floor half a dozen times. They tried to distract him with the cut-up pancakes that ended up being squashed between his fists. And that child wasn't happy. Dean? He looked across at his dad. Something about the way he was looking at him made him realize that an answer to a question was expected. He just didn't have a clue what the question was. John looked across at the family with the loud brat as the wailing broke through another threshold. That boy could shatter glass and was driving him, and no doubt everybody else, crazy. Breakfast, Dean. What do you want? Dean looked at the menu that was resting on the table in front of him. Looked. His eyes scanned the words in the pictures with determined concentration. There were illustrations next to some of the words, but not all. Dean frowned and then picked up the laminated card, trying to decipher the symbols that were emblazoned across it. It was only then, watching his son stare with confusion at the words, that John realized what an absolute fool he'd been. He picked up the offending card. You don't need this, but I know what you like. When you were 8, you couldn't get enough pancakes and syrup. Dean was gnawing his bottom lip. Not 8. The words were barely more than a whisper. Dean suddenly looked close to tears, and he was twisting the fingers of his right hand with his left. Way to go, John. I know you're not. Come on. You need to eat because you shouldn't be taking your meds on an empty stomach. Dean frowned. That wasn't true. He had his pills a lot of times when he hadn't eaten. Didn't matter. He was hungry. He enjoyed the pizza last night, but pizza didn't seem to be an offer here, and Sam had eaten everything that had been left. What can I get you? The woman was looking directly at him. Below the dyed red beehive, she had a face that could have frozen water. Dean smiled at her, hoping to cheer her up. It didn't work. I'll have pancakes with a side of bacon. My son will have the same. The waitress wrote it down and walked away. Well, she was a ray of sunshine, wasn't she? Dean smiled at his father, his earlier upset already forgotten. A piercing screech, and Dean's attention is once again drawn to the child on the other side of the diner, still screaming, red-faced with what looked like oatmeal all through his hair. When the food arrived, the two men ate in silence. Dean didn't eat his bacon, but after pouring almost half a ball of syrup onto his pancakes, he thoroughly enjoyed them. It occurred to John that he'd either have to give Dean a chance to do his usual exercises, or they'd have to start watching his diet. It wasn't an immediate worry. He was too thin anyway. Besides, at this point, Dean looked happy. That was enough. Sam appeared just as they were finishing and ordered a coffee. Dean looked at his brother, who was now, at least from this perspective, almost side by side with the child that was providing his assembled audience with an encore. Dean smiled. He remembered. Sam frowned and glared before sitting next to his brother. "Headache much?" "Yeah, he is noisy, isn't he?" John reached into his pocket to retrieve the phone that was vibrating silently against his chest. "Caller ID," said Father Jim. "I'll just take this outside." Sam watched as their father went outside to lean against the car, his gaze once again falling on a child screaming in the corner. "Hey, Dean, I think I used to have a t-shirt like that." "Hey, what are you laughing at, Dean?" A patchwork quilt of color swept across the sky in front of them. The pinks and oranges were already giving way to deeper purples and scarlets as the sun slowly slipped below the horizon. The look on his father's face when they had returned to the car had been cut off, remote. It had to be something to do with the phone call from Father Jim, but he refused to say what it was about. One more secret that John Winchester refused to share. He hadn't pressed it, though. No point in making the rest of this trip more difficult than it already was. There had always been a measure of tension between him and his dad, even before what happened with Dean. The relationship hadn't improved with Dean's absence. They'd just learned to channel the animosity into the job. Yeah, okay, sometimes they still had fights. Sometimes, when the pressure got too much, they were even physical. But they had learned to live with each other. John still worked on a need-to-know basis. That's what had Sam riled more often than not. His dad had some belief that he could protect Sam from some things as long as Sam didn't know about them, like where he had managed to get the money for Dean's surgery and hospital bills. How he had been able to pay for Fieldcrest for the last 4 years. Having Dean with them, the tension was different. Now they had to think about how any row would affect his brother, how any argument could not be allowed to get out of hand because Dean needed them both. Guilt was making things worse. They stopped briefly at a drive-thru, picked up food, and ate on the move. Something was up. His dad was definitely more determined than ever to get to Missouri's as soon as possible. They wouldn't be stopping at a motel again. He slipped one of Dean's tapes into the deck and let the music of Creedence fill the silence. Not too loudly, though, because his brother was already dozing on the back seat. Missouri knew they'd arrived before John even knocked on the door. It wasn't that she'd heard the car engines as it crawled into the space in front of her home. This term had successfully managed to drown that out. No. Missouri Mosley had felt them arrive. John's and Sam's presence were familiar. Her mind recognized the way they thought, as you would a familiar voice. There was a bit of anger in the way Sam's mind was churning, another row brewing between father and son, no doubt. She hadn't seen much of them in the last few years, since Dean had been gone, but she'd always been able to feel the tension, the self-doubt. Sam truly believed that John saw him as a pale imitation of his brother, a disappointment. If only the boy would talk to his father. That brought her to John. That man was just as bad. Two peas in a pod they were. So similar in so many ways, so stubborn. John's mind was open to her, always had been. He tried to put barriers up once and then realized she could read him anyway. John was fiercely protective. His thoughts were more laced with emotion than he ever showed externally. He loved his boys to distraction, and he feared for them. Tonight, though, that fear was tinged with something else. There was a sense of immediacy about it. The only way Dean's thoughts had ever been like his father's was in that he, like John, hid his feelings behind a mask of indifference. Not anymore, though. Dean. Oh, Dean. It had been a long time since she had felt his presence. That young man had been a force to be reckoned with, a charmer, a rogue. handsome as any Hollywood movie star, and he knew exactly what to do with the looks that the Lord saw fit to bless him with. His thoughts had been like him, fiercely defensive and protective of his family, not so forgiving of what he thought of as his own weaknesses, his own failings. This Dean was different. This Dean. No, that would be a wrong thing to say. Insulting, even. He was not a shadow of his former self. This Dean was just as important, just as valuable as an individual. He was just different. He was still devoted to family, but he had no real sense of what he wanted for himself beyond the immediate desire to stay with Sam and John. It was as if his family's desertion had magnified his previous lack of confidence in his own worth. He was frustrated by his inability to do all the things that he used to be able to do. He hated the way his independence had been stolen. He hated the situation that he was in, but he didn't blame anyone for it, except for perhaps himself. There was something more, not something Dean was consciously trying to hide, but something that was hidden nevertheless. She answered the door and welcomed the three men into her house. Missouri poured coffee into the cup and handed it to John, who was sitting at her table. "Well?"
"Getting right to the point, then, eh?" She smiled at him. "You only arrived 5 minutes ago."
She sat in the chair next to him and took a sip from her own cup. "Supper will be ready shortly."
"Did you pick anything up or not?"
He knew he was being impatient and rude, but this was important. She didn't respond to his abruptness, just spoke softly, soothingly. "John, there is something that Dean is hiding. Something he knows which he is keeping to himself."
John frowned. "He's lying to me?"
"Not intentionally, John." "There is no desire to lie to you." She thought carefully about the words she used with John. The man demanded honesty from his boys, always had. He would not tolerate deception. "There is something he knows which he is keeping hidden, even from me. He doesn't know why, just that he has to." She got up and checked the homemade soup that she had simmering on the stove.
"Is it about this danger you spoke of?"
"I don't think so, no. He's not afraid of this secret." John deflated a little, feeling wary, feeling so much older than his years.
"There's something, isn't there?"
"That's what I was about to ask." John looked up and saw his youngest son glaring at him. Missouri turned to the youngest Winchester. She could see the animosity pouring off him.
"What did Father Jim want when he spoke to you yesterday?"
John didn't flinch at Sam's obvious fury. He really wasn't in the mood for a fight with one of his kids right now.
"There was a fire at Fieldcrest the night after we left."
"Accidental?"
"Doubtful. Jim says that other things were reported in the area. Some hunters were in the area just passing through. They told Jim that it seemed like a door had been unlocked."
Sam stepped further into the kitchen and stood as close to his father as the width of the table he was sat at.
"Over 80 years, you said. 80 years of nothing happening. We take you away and everything goes to hell?"
Missouri turned off the pan and sat down next to John.
"Was anybody hurt?"
"Fire started in one of the rooms. One nurse died in the fire. 2 residents died later in the hospital from smoke inhalation."
Sam looked at his dad, the sick feeling in the pit of his stomach telling him that he already knew the answer to the next question.
"Which room did the fire start in?"
His dad's silence confirmed his suspicions.